Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us this evening, as we are every Tuesday. And so as we have you today, we want to thank you for joining us and ask that you continue to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. This month, we have been talking about Dr. Charles Spurgeon and his book, Prayer and Spiritual Warfare. We have been having a ball with this, and we've had a great audience, and we're asking that you would continue to join us and support us as we go through this book. It is awesome. It gives us wonderful scriptural references, and we are staying true to the Word of God. Many wonderful evangelists, and he has done a great job of, throughout history, he's made a difference and has been one that has led people, many, many people, to relationship with God. So we thank Dr. Spurgeon for his diligence, and we will follow suit and continue to learn more about how the Bible speaks to us regarding prayer. And as we go forward, we are going to start off with prayer. Well, after prayer, we will have our song by Vicky Yohe. And after we have a song by Vicky Yohe, we will have scripture by Margaret. And after we have scripture by Margaret, we will then have intercessory prayer by Bishop Michael, and after that, we will begin our Bible study. So we are so excited again to have you with us, and we are excited about this study. Let's get started. God, we thank you so much for watching over us and keeping us and giving us the opportunity to serve you. You've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've provided for us. You've given us many, many opportunities today to serve you, and we just thank you for using us as a vessel and empowering us to be able to participate in this radio show. We ask, oh God, as we go forward, that you would strengthen us tonight as we study about exclamatory prayer, as we look at Nehemiah and how Nehemiah was able to handle this and the lessons that we learned from Nehemiah about prayer. Thank you, oh God, for the panel that participates. Thank you for their leadership. Thank you for their wisdom and knowledge. Thank you for the radio audience that calls in and encourages us and writes in. And so with all of this, we just have so many things to be grateful for. But most of all, Lord, we're grateful that you are God who is leading, guiding, and directing us and teaching us how you want us to pray. We thank you for the word. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. We'll now hear a song, Vicky Yohe. Awesome, awesome, awesome. At this time, can we get the lines open and everybody entered into the studio as we hear Nehemiah, the second chapter again, and the verses 1-4, focusing on 4. Margaret, are you in the studio? So, Jamie, you have to click on everybody.
Yes,
and let
I
them...
am. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I was on mute. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1-4. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, "Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart." Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the places of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?" Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven, the word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen. Thanks be to God. So tonight we're going to talk about exclamatory prayer. And but before we do that, we're going to have our intercessory prayer to get us focused. Is Bishop Michael in the studio?
Bishop Michael is in the studio, yes.
All right.
Amen. Are there any prayer requests that we might have for tonight? Well, this is Bishop Michael, and as I've been watching the news, there's a lot of saber rattling going on. There are wars and rumors of wars, and we need to pray for leaders of every nation, and even on a night like tonight, which is a midterm
Amen.
Election.
Amen.
We need
we
to,
need
pray,
to
for
pray for our country.
Amen.
Amen. We need to pray for our country. Thank
need
you, Bishop.
For America.
This is Dr.
Go ahead,
Susan.
Doctor.
I wanted to lift a prayer. I'd like to pray for my children, James and Sydney, as always. And I'd like to pray for my my office, my work. I'd like to pray for my work as well. I've recently encountered some things regarding my health, and I would like to have the group not just pray tonight, but to continue to pray with me for the next month or so. I would really appreciate that. That's my prayer concern, and let's see if there's anything else I can think of that was urgent. We are praying for the country. We're praying for the church. And, you know, that we would notice the signs of the times with the Lord coming back, especially when we see behavior that's new and behavior that's of the world, of the enemy in the world. So just asking for prayers for that. Bishop, did you get that? If you got that, I'm going to step out for a second, and I'll be right back.
Bishop
and so
Michael,
you have to carry on.
This is Margaret. I wanted to ask for prayer for my friend Charlotte. She lost her 4-year-old grandson to adenovirus, and to pray for her family for comfort during their time of grief, and also lift up all the children who are suffering from illnesses from that RSV and COVID and other illnesses that is taking a great toll on our children. I'd also like to lift up my family, my children, my husband, and my mother and sister, and prayers for them to sustain and bless and keep them safe. And of course, I agree with you about our nation. We pray for our nation. We pray for God's mercy to see how he acts and moves in our world. Amen. Bishop, are you there? This is Margaret. Dr. Susie, are you there? Well, are there any more prayer requests on the line? If there aren't any more prayer requests, I'll start over praying. Lord, we just come before you today. We praise you. We honor you. We adore you, Lord. Whatever difficulties we may face, each and every soul who is listening here, you are aware of everything, and you are divine. We are so grateful to you for how you have blessed us and blessed our nation. During this time of election, we pray that peace would prevail. We pray that our nation would draw together and not fight one another, that the people of our nation would have peace this evening.
Yes,
and
God.
Lord, we lift up Pastor Susie's children, James and Sydney, today. We pray for their protection and the provision of their needs and great blessing. We also pray for Dr. Susie's work, and we pray that the office workers would be blessed and anointed by your holy presence, Lord, that their efforts and work would be accompanied by your divine will, Lord. And we pray for the good of each and everyone who is working there with her in the office, and for those people that they serve, the veterans. We pray your blessing upon them. May they be anointed and blessed when they come in contact with the people in her office, and may the office be successful in administering and disseminating the message of your holy word, Lord. I pray for my dear friend Charlotte at the loss of her grandson.
Yes, Lord.
Who was only 4 years old. And I pray for her daughter, Bridget, and her husband. I pray that you would give them a full measure of your mercy, Lord, of the balm of Gilead upon them at the time of their loss and their grief, Lord. I know that they're crying out to you, and I can't understand why this had to happen in a family of believers, Lord God, but it was infection, adenovirus, and then complications just snowballed in this little boy's life. So I pray that you will meet the needs of this family. And Lord, I ask for a blessing upon my family as well, especially the grandchildren. Protect them from the pestilence that is moving through our land, especially in the lives of children. We just praise and thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And we know that you're there for us and that you hear us. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Margaret. Thank you so much. Margaret, can you
you're
hear
welcome.
Me?
Welcome. Yes, yes, I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before,
amen.
Though.
It just somehow the call just dropped, and I kind of think it's my Wi-Fi that does that sometimes.
Mm. Well, praise God that you're back. I'm so glad to hear your voice again.
Amen. It's good to be heard. I still want to really lift up not just our nation, but the nations of the world, because we know that the world has gotten smaller. What happens in Africa kind of impacts us here in America. What happens here in America impacts what goes on in Europe. So there's a lot of saber rattling going on. We have missiles being tested and fired. And so we want to lift up the leaders of this nation, of this world, not just this nation, but of the world.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we touch and agree, Lord, at this time that we're seeing all of these signs that you said that we would see. You said that there would be wars and rumors of wars. You said that there would be earthquakes in different places. You said that there would be incurable diseases, Lord, and we're seeing them right now. And you said that we, when we see these things, that we should not be worried or not be troubled, for these are the beginning of sorrows. So, Lord, we are seeing them coming closer and closer together. And, Lord, as we lift up these nations, Lord, we also lift up the body of Christ worldwide. We lift up the church universal. Every pastor, every minister, every laborer, every member, that you would revitalize us, you would revive us, Lord God, that we would be able to stand even in this midst of trouble and in this midst of anguish. Lord, we're going to do everything to stand, having our loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, God, around us, Lord God. Lord, we would have our feet prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that we would be able to stand, and having all done all to stand, we would stand with our faith firm in you.
Yes.
We believe you for revival in this world. We believe you for new souls to be born into the kingdom. We ask that you would reclaim the backslider. Your word says that you are forever married to the backslider. Lord, we bless you. We glorify you. Lord, we pray for our unsaved loved ones, God. Send ministers across their path, Lord, that they would be born again. Those that have calls on their lives and have walked away from them, Lord, let them go back to the calling, for the gifts of God are without repentance. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Lord, make us prepared for this day. We pray for our leadership of this nation, God. We pray for this night tonight, Lord, and we pray that there would be a wave of peace, that this rhetoric that has gotten so far out of hand, Holy Spirit, arrest it now. We bind it in Jesus' mighty name. And we pray that you would speak peace over this land. You said, if my people would call by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would you hear from heaven and you would forgive our sins and heal our land. Heal America. Heal Africa. Heal Europe. Heal Russia. Heal Asia, God. Heal the islands of the sea, God.
Yes.
Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. We bless you and we glorify you. We pray that you would heal those countries over in the Far East and in the Middle East, God.
Yes.
Heal us, I pray. We touch and agree. For two on earth agree is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. And we bless you and we glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, and we said together,
amen.
Amen. God is awesome. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
He is so awesome.
You know, Dr. Susie, this book is such a blessing to me. It is being a blessing to me. I'm able to see some things that challenge some of the things that have been the basis of what has been in my life. I love this exclamatory prayer. I love it. I love it.
So what is it about exclamatory prayer, Bishop Michael, that excites you so?
What excites me so is I read something that Dr. Spurgeon had said about, you know, the spirit of prayer. You know, we're I don't want to give the end of the chapter at the beginning, but God sometimes makes known the beginning of the end of the thing at the beginning. And he talks about this man, Roland, I believe that's his name, that, you know, you could hear him. He would be at a storefront window, and you could hear him under his breath praying. He was in constant prayer. And this exclamatory prayer is prelim to us having the spirit of prayer. It's okay to have an attitude of prayer. That's good. That's a good start. But when we have the spirit of prayer, you know, these exclamatory prayers, is just not, they don't have to be long. As opposed to, you know, and there's one of the great authorities on prayer back in the 90s was Dr. Larry Lee, and he wrote a book, Could You Not Watch With Me for 1 Hour? And, you know, we had to put a time limit that you haven't prayed until you prayed for an hour. And, you know, what Spurgeon is talking about is constantly praying. And, I mean, when you have that spirit of prayer, your mind is always at an attitude of prayer. Be prepared to pray. And here's the other thing about it is things don't have to be wrong for us to pray.
And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. They don't have to be something to be wrong to pray. We just need to find a posture of prayer. And
there
we were talking about that today, Bishop, how, you know, people talk about, well, you know, I usually get on my knees and I pray when I go to bed. But we were talking about how, you know, we're talking about Nehemiah tonight, but the issue is that we wake up in a posture to praise and thank God. That's a part of prayer, is praising God. And exclamatory prayer is I love the way Margaret put it last week when she said it's kind of like a sandwich, an Oreo cookie, but the, you know, you sandwich
right.
that prayer in, you get it in quickly. And it's essential that we do it throughout the day. And like I said, I think it's a posture that we take of prayer. So,
Dr. Susie, I heard this story where these people were arguing about which is the best way to pray. And some people say, you know, I pray prostrate. I lay down before God, and I get on my face, prostrate myself. Some people say, I pray, you know, kneeling. And, you know, the Bible says when you pray standing. And then this one guy said, you know, the best posture of prayer I had was when I had some cable wrapped around my leg and I was hanging upside down. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, I work for the telephone company. And he fell. And he said, I work for the telephone company and the thing wrapped around my ankle. And I was saying, praying, please God, help me. He said, and the Lord sent some help. So the point of that is, as long as we are praying, huh? And I would say that please God help me was an exclamatory prayer. we have to be, you know, the posture of prayer is, you know, positionally. We are seated in heavenly places already, not yet. God hears us when we pray. We have to know that he hears us when we pray. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to wait till we hangling or dangling from a line to pray. We don't have to wait till something is wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, Margaret, what is it that has your attention these days that has you excited about exclamatory prayer?
It seems that there's a lot of worry going on right now in this world and amongst the people around me, and the fact that I can immediately cry out to the Lord, and I trust and believe that he does hear me. And it's just, I guess it calms me. It gives me a peace. It's not excitement, but it's a balm. It's reassuring during uncertain times.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, one of the things I find myself really being excited interested about with this is the passion at which Dr. Spurgeon is teaching us to have that intimate relationship with God. And, you know, many of us already were in that direction of thinking, but when you're reminded through listening to his passion, as he talks about the way he emotes, as you can listen and hear, when he's talking about the Lord, it's just so exciting. I also like the fact that he continues, and think Margaret and I were talking about this, how he uses the Word of God and continues to give illustration, because, you know, it is a Bible study. And so it's really good that we're able to see the scripture that he's using and where it comes from for him. So I think that's special as well. But as we start tonight, I want us to Bishop, I know you said you wanted to kind of give us some leadership with this evening's lesson. But as we go through, I want us to read the fourth verse of Nehemiah 2 once more before we launch into that. So with everybody who's on the line, would you follow? Bishop, do you have that up? If you would read Nehemiah 2:4. Well, Marcus got it. Marcus, do you have it?
Yes.
So let her read Nehemiah 2:4. Yeah. And then we'll go into
Nehemiah,
the study.
Chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, "What are you requesting?" So I prayed to the God of heaven.
Amen.
The word
Amen.
Of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen. And you know, that where, you know, I read that part in the book, and Spurgeon was saying, you know, that the prayer was sandwiched between the king's question and Nehemiah's reply. So it wasn't a sweet hour of prayer. it you know, that is, the prayer was short. And I believe as long as we are talking to God, and it should be like all day. I have a good friend that I talk to a lot. And sometimes we don't say nothing. We just, you know, we're in each other's presence. And one of the things that my mentor, Dr. George McKinney, Bishop McKinney, said something. I never got it at first, Dr. Susie and Margaret. I never got it at first. I was a young preacher in my early 20s. And he would always say this: practice the presence of God. And I kind of got it, like, act like God is always there, because he's omnipresent. And the thing is, it's like that, and this is what struck me at that scripture that Margaret just read. What struck me is that he knew something about the omnipresence of God. He said, "I prayed," and what Spurgeon was, you know, he bought out there. It was no long drawn out prayer. So that would say to us, what does that say to you? That, you know, here it is, the king asked the question, then he prayed to the Lord. So what does that say to us right there? That Spurgeon says, go ahead.
That he believes in God and the almighty authority of God first and foremost before the king, and he seeks the counsel of God because he has a personal relationship with God from his prayer life. He's crying out to God to guide him in his response. And he didn't have much time.
Yeah. This is what Spurgeon says about it. He says, if you know the sweet art of prayer, you will often be engaged in it. if you are familiar with the mercy seat, you will constantly visit it. What do y'all think about that? What do you think about, what does that say to you?
Amen.
What does that speak to you?
Well,
go ahead.
This is Margaret. It tells me that when you do experience the presence of Almighty God in your spiritual life, that you will seek it again because it is a wonderful experience. It's a tremendous peace, and it's a fantastic thing. But also, when you have a personal relationship with God, your prayer life grows. If you practice prayer, it grows in your life.
Yes.
This is Dr. Susan.
Go ahead, Dr. Susan.
So when we talk about the mercy seat, I just want us to have that image in our head. The mercy seat, remember, according to the Hebrew Bible, was that place where you had the gold lid placed on the Ark of the Covenant, where the two cherubims were beaten out of the ends to cover and create the space into which Yahweh was to appear. The mercy seat was at the throne of God, regarded as the place of divine access, the place of communion, the place of, you know, where Christ serves as a propitiation, the representation, propitiation for our sins. You know, that to me is important for us to have in our minds as to what the mercy seat is. And so when we understand that, when we know that we're going back again for that place of communion, we're going back again for that place of the transference of sin for forgiveness, the reconciliation between God and God's people. You know, remember when the ark was given, it was the priest who would do what? What did they sprinkle on the mercy seat?
Blood.
Y'all remember what it was sprinkled blood. So as
blood.
Long as the blood was there on the mercy seat, God saw only the blood.
The blood.
And accepted the people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's the exciting thing I get when I read Spurgeon's book, because he says that whenever we are ushered into the throne and we receive audience from God, that
Hallelujah.
We come into his presence, and coming into his presence, he sees the blood. He sees the blood. The blood goes and intercedes to kind of sort of translate what it is we're saying, so God understands and hears, because that is the relationship of love that serves as that reconciliation between us and God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Says, and you know, taking back on there, here's that quote that he says is powerful. For who that knows the power of prayer but wishes to be often there? When you have a prayer life, you want to go back into it. You want to pray. You want to. I heard of a lady, well, I actually heard her say it. She said, I don't want to be known as a woman of prayer. was that Margaret?
Yeah. I was like, what?
I don't want to be known as a woman of prayer. Like, well, you need to get another job, pastor. I would rather my pastor be known as a person of prayer. If I'm coming to you, I need for you to be able to get a prayer through. See, and he says here, Nehemiah was in the king's palace. The king was a heathen king. He was doing his most important job, yet he was in the act of praying. So Nehemiah was in a very trusted position, yes? And the thing was, he remained humble to God. He could have been like, you know, look at me. I'm the king's cupbearer. I got this job. I got this. But the king, and I think it was Margaret that brought it out last week, that talked about the relationship between the king and the cupbearer, because he noticed. He's like, why are you looking like that? What's going on with you? There had to be a relationship besides him being in the ceremonial part. So Nehemiah was involved with an exclamatory prayer. The prayer is a prayer that is straight to the point. Has anybody ever heard some of those old line praying? It sounds good, and Spurgeon talks about this later, but it sounds really good. Oh, thou in ages past, and you the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you know, come down through. And you've heard these prayers, but when you are in a situation, or you need help, or you just like, Lord, like, good morning, Jesus. You know, you don't even need something. Good, you know, good morning, Holy Spirit. It's straight to the point. It is straight to the point, and that's very important. Spurgeon says that the type of prayer is the very best form of prayer. Does anybody have anything to say about that?
Can you repeat that again, Bishop? I couldn't hear you.
He says that this type of prayer is, you know, this prayer is a prayer that gets straight to the point. He says this is the very best form of prayer. Why do you think he would say something like that?
Well, this is Dr. Susie, because he's already encouraged us and exhorted us to plead our case. So when you can plead your case and go straight to the point, then that facilitates what it is you're trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, makes it easier. And I mean,
well,
go ahead, Doc.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Said it makes it easier.
It kind of puts a check on us, doesn't it? Because would anybody disagree with the fact that that kind of prayer would make you check your motive for the prayer? Check where you are. Check your spirit. What are you thinking about? You know, you go into the king, you go into the throne. Do you come to the king with, you know, God, can I get a coupon for McDonald's? That's something that you get at McDonald's. When you go before the king, didn't he say that we should not come up there with little small dainty requests, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here it is. He says, the prayer is short. It was sandwiched between the king's question and Nehemiah's answer. That kind of prayer did not take up, it didn't take up too much time. So to me, this is a person. This is just me. If anybody disagrees with me, you know, this is not about this. This is about discussion and study. To me, this person who prayed this short prayer obviously practiced the presence of God. Yes or no?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Go ahead, Doc.
And in practicing that, and I think because Nehemiah was so tuned into his relationship with God, I don't think the king even noticed the hesitation. I think he was so smooth in his relationship with God in his prayer time that when it was time to slide that one right in, it just went right on in. He made the statement. He said the prayer. You know, and because he is attuned to doing that, I don't even think the king even noticed it. You know, I don't think he even noticed.
I'm going to pose this question to both of you. What does this say about those that? And I'm not condemning anybody. Please let me put this in there right now. I'm not putting anybody down. Because the reason this question comes from something that I used to say. What about those people that claim I don't have enough time to pray? I really don't have time to pray. I haven't prayed because
you don't have time not to pray. You can't afford not to pray. So I can't afford not to.
Yeah. I'm too busy to pray. I'm just too busy. My life is too hectic. Well, maybe if we took the time to pray, our life would become less hectic. If our house and our home and our life and our business and our finances and our family is out of order, could we pray to the God that causes order, causes things to get in order? And see, here's the thing. What Spurgeon said is like he didn't vacillate. This is what he said. Nehemiah did not have the time to vacillate because he took the time to pray. Oops. That's I added that last part. He did not have the time to vacillate. And he points out, which Dr. Susie, I think you did last week. let me put this in there. The prayer was just as fast as turning on a light switch. So this does away with a lot of, I need time I need to pray, and you got to do this, and all these rules that people have put. Isn't it interesting that people have put these rules up to what you have to say? You know, we don't even know what Nehemiah actually said, but he said, "I pray to the Lord." That's what he said. He didn't even give you a word-by-word, blow-by-blow definition of what he said. He just said, I prayed to the Lord. What's the most important thing in that statement? I prayed to the Lord. And we've gone through this before in earlier chapters, that even if our prayer might be a little bit off base, the Holy Spirit is going to teach us what we should do when we pray, what we should say when we pray. So we lean and depend on the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get to my next point without rushing. But y'all remember what he says? In states of strong excitement, our mind can get through, go through a myriad of things. When we're excited, you know, when we have times of stress, times of danger, we don't have time to be going to, oh, God of ages past and thou who art and will to come. We don't have time for all that. Sometimes the prayer, Jesus. How many of you heard those testimonies when there's a car coming for, somebody, and we don't have time to go into all that. We just say, Jesus. And the person was, he was missed. Lord. Or this one, my granny's favorite prayer. Lord help. And that's a prayer. Or this one, be healed. I was over in Africa, in Gabon, and I heard this. Dans le nom de Jesus, partir, in the name of Jesus, come out. And guess what? It came out.
Amen.
So in stress or danger. And here's what Nehemiah said. So I prayed to the God of heaven. And he says, Spurgeon said, that's an excellent style of praying. When do we need to pray? Should we pray? In a time of need?
As often as possible.
Yes.
We pray out of relationship when we want to talk to God. That's what prayer is. Talking to God is continuing to build that relationship, whatever that takes to maintain it.
And for us, and to maintain it, we should pray what? Regularly.
Yes.
We should have a regular.
Without ceasing.
We should wait. Thank you.
Yes.
We should have a regular spirit. We should have a spirit of prayer, right? Daniel prayed three times a day. David said, seven times have I praised you. So that should be a constant prayer. I had a friend of mine, whenever they got mad, they said, Lord, please forgive me what I'm thinking right now. That's a prayer.
Uh-huh.
the Lord. Whenever I know he was getting mad, the Lord, please forgive me what I'm thinking right now. But that's a prayer. Lord, please help me. You know, you ought to always pray. Regular prayer should be the habit. That's what I'm getting at. It should be our habit. And we started this thing off by saying we should not wait until something is wrong before we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And we should not wait till something good happens before we give praise. Marvin Sapp has this song, say, I praise him in advance. Praise him for the things that he's given. Go ahead.
This is Dr. Susie. You know, I think we need to get away from a mentality that praying God is asking for something. Because in reality, what we need to see is that praying to God is talking to God. And if we see that praying to God is talking to God and we focus on that instead, then we won't get caught up in what it is we're saying. We won't get caught up in the fact that we need something. We won't get caught up in those things. But we'll begin to say, if it's talking to God, we talk to God about everything.
Everything.
So that I think that's a better posture to be in, the idea of talking to God, because we talk to God about everything.
Yeah. And he knows everything anyway, right? God knows everything. So what Spurgeon suggests that we have regular times that we commune with God. There has to be a time and a place, because it does something. What is a regular? I'm going to ask it this way. What does a regular time, what does it do to us if we have a regular set time that we talk to God? We talk to him in the morning. We talk to him in the evening. Dr. Spurgeon actually, and I have it, is a devotional for morning and evening. So what does that do to us if we have regular times of talking with God? What does that do for us as individuals who worship and pray to God? What's that?
This is Dr. Susie. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So to me, it's just like, so, you know, I'm a little quirky. I've been called quirky by my boss today. But when I look at talking about a regular time with God, think about that. I have boyfriends that I talk to on a regular basis at set time. And so, you know, you look for that. It becomes an anticipatory thing. It becomes a need.
Yeah. Woo!
When I think about it, it becomes something that you long for. So it's that which enhances the relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's essential when you try. So, for example, Margaret's my running buddy, right? So we talk on a regular basis. What it does for me is when we don't miss her. What it also does for me is when we do talk, I have that connection this instant.
Amen.
Yeah. Margaret, did you want to add something to this?
Well, I was thinking about this situation, and I can identify with it, with Nehemiah, because for me, when you're in a situation such as this, I can just cut and paste that to situations in life. When you are in a circumstance where the person you're talking to has the authority to let you do something that the Lord has put on your heart or not. Mm-hmm. And when you say exclamatory prayer, there's an urgency, you know, desperation. Mm-hmm. And as it went on in the latter verses following these first four, Nehemiah went on and asked for letters to be given so that he could travel to Judah to the different authorities that had to pass him through. He didn't have a plan that he was going to ask the king. He may have wanted it. The Lord put it on his heart, but his mind was rational and had the peace to make a plan, to think about the concrete. Well, he was very pragmatic. He was a real person who dealt with the realities of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord gave him the presence of mind and prepared the way for him to ask for the tools that he needed to make the trip.
Yes.
So God, when we pray, he can give us a new clarity on a situation, on an event, an exclamatory. You're in some kind of dire strait. You desperately need help. And you don't need to be afraid or scatterbrained. You need to be focused on the prize and where you're headed.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's what
so
the
what
Lord can
thing?
Give us when we cry out to him in prayer.
Amen. So what do we say about a regularly scheduled time of prayer? There was a song written a while back, and it would just bring tears to my eyes. And it's written in the voice of God. And the song says, "I miss my time with you."
With you, yeah.
Amen.
Oh, man,
yeah.
I felt that. So it's like, you know, I've been through, and I've shared with Dr. Susie some of the things that I've encountered over my life. And, you know, I would run into people and say, you know, I prayed all night long. And I'd be like, well, what did God say to you? Because if we're, you know, 8 hours in prayer, if you're the only one doing the talking, if you've never heard anything, something wrong. There should be dialogue, not monologue. I said, wait to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And this is something, the reason I ask this question is, when we have this regularly scheduled time with God, regular time of praying, what are we saying? That this, go ahead, Dr. Susie.
It was Margaret. I was going to just say, it was, you're saying that, God, I love you. You're important to me. I recognize you as my Lord and my God and my Savior and Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you adore the Lord and you cherish the time that you get to spend with him.
There it is, right there. You're saying this time belongs to you, Lord.
Amen.
And I like the way Spurgeon, I mean, again, I'm like, every time I read something, I'm like, whoa. I'm just like, wow, that's, yes. Spurgeon said, you know, you treat that like time that you would for a special friend. Or the word I believe he used was a dear friend. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. So we have this relationship. We have this set time. And Dr. Spurgeon said, these belongs to God. I will do business with God. As such a time, I will be as punctual to my hours with him as I would if I made an appointment to meet a friend.
All right.
Because really, I'd rather have him as friend. And that, you know, when we, you know, that part where he says, the scariest scripture in the Bible to me is where Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. that word. I never had a chance. Go ahead.
This doctor is one of the things that just. Go ahead.
Never had a chance.
Can anybody hear me?
Yes, Dr. Susie.
Yes.
So I guess what just jumped out at me is there's a scripture that says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Your heart will be.
Amen.
So when we do a evaluation, when we do a self-check, and we ask the questions, where do you spend your time? Where you spend your time?
Mm-hmm.
And folks say, oh, I spend no less 8-9 hours at work, right?
Right.
Well, you spend 8-9 hours at work, and how many hours you still sleeping? So say you spend 8 hours sleeping. So that's 17 hours left. So how many hours are left? It's only 24 hours, so it's 6 hours left. So the question is, how much of that 6 hours is devoted to the Lord? And most of us, I wouldn't say us, but most people can't even say that they gave 30 minutes a day.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to evaluate that and see where our heart is, because our treasure, where we spend our time, where we invest our energy, what we do the most, what we spend in is where we're saying is valuable, our treasure. So if God is your treasure, if God is that which is important to you, that you seek, that you need, that you can't breathe without, then it needs to reflect that in the time that you spend.
Yeah. Dr. Spurgeon says, Sir Thomas Abney, he had this very important dinner engagement, but he had already had this scheduled time of prayer with the Lord. At this very, I don't know who Sir Thomas is, but I would imagine that he's amongst the aristocracy over in Great Britain. He had this very, very important dinner engagement, and he dismissed himself from the dinner to go meet with his dear friend.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What he say?
Because,
oh, what peace we all because we do not carry the things to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what grief we offer before
prayer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have a friend. Mrs. Rose said that she would not give up her prayer even if the Apostle Paul were preaching.
Well.
I've been with people who would just take time off of their job because the big preacher was coming into town. And then I would watch them at the meeting. They already saved. But when the preacher gave them invitation for salvation, they would go downtown. I'm like, wait. I thought you were saved. Why are you going to the altar call? Because they wanted to meet the preacher when you already had in your heart the person who called that person to preach. Don't get me started. It's okay to pray short prayers. We see in Nehemiah's example that there is no hindrance. There is no engagement. It occupies no time. This type of prayer may be offered anywhere under any circumstance. That's why I think he said this is the most excellent prayer. I think that's why he said it. There's nothing can interrupt that prayer. Nothing can keep you from praying that prayer. This type of prayer allows us to pray what he says, how often. This type of prayer allows us to pray always.
Amen.
I was in a school in Rockford, Illinois, and I had this air quote friend who loved to pray. Well, at 8:15, we had to be in our classroom. 8:15 was when we started our work. The work day started at 8:15. He always wanted to start prayer at 8:10. And I said, Eric, we can't do that. First of all, we're here. We're hired to do a job. We're not hired to pray. We're here you know, and we have contract time, and we agreed as Christians that we would do this, what he would do. Hey, come on in. We're praying. Come on in. Hey, yeah, we're praying.
Well, so I got
a
question.
Come on in. Yes, Doc.
I got a question as we look at this, and I think it's a pretty important question. You know, should we pray a set number of times? Should we, or should we at least, I mean, Daniel prayed, not necessarily a set number of times, but a regularity.
Yes.
A sense of regularness, a pattern that we should have. I don't know a good way to say it, but Daniel prayed three times, and the other examples that we have in the scripture of people that pray often to the Lord, should we also be seeking to develop regularity with the Lord? You know, what do y'all think? I mean, should we have regularity? Or should we
most
just kind of fly by night?
Yeah.
What's
most
the purpose
definitely.
Of that, though? What do you think the purpose of having a regular session? You know, we talked about these people who were so committed to their relationship with God. Their meeting with their friend that they got up from a date dinner and excused themselves and went and had their time with the Lord.
It says,
the question is, go ahead.
God is important to me. My time is important with him. It moves us from an attitude of prayer really to a spirit of prayer.
Posture,
we can pray
yeah.
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a posture
mm-hmm.
of prayer. I've watched ministers that would, you know, they would be able to speak to that need right there because they had that posture of prayer. Their mind was, you know,
so,
they didn't have to like, yes, Dr. Susan.
No, I'm listening to you about this posture of prayer. So if, in fact, Nehemiah is showing us to have this posture of prayer. Maybe that's why he was able to have exclamatory prayer. Maybe that's
mm-hmm.
why it was so fluid.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hearing you all say that you would you say it's essential to a relationship?
I, yeah.
I mean, I look
yes.
at it this way, Margaret. I ain't gonna date nobody who ain't gonna call me on a regular basis.
Yes.
I'm gonna
mm-hmm.
feel neglected. How about you? You know,
amen.
Call me
I
and
think...
say hi to me one day, and then I don't hear from you till 2 months later. Excuse me? Go ahead, Margaret.
I think that I pray daily, I think at least three times a day, but other times it just comes to mind and I pray because I've developed a relationship with the Lord of prayer and I know that he answers and that he can give me insight and I don't rush ahead by myself without hearing from the Lord or at least seeking his help.
Mhm. Mhm.
I'm comforted to pray first and then act, even if it's exclamatory, for an unexpected, sudden, divine appointment such as Nehemiah
mm-hmm.
had.
Mhm.
Amen.
I remember Bishop
Amen.
McKinney said something that it stuck with me these many years later, almost 50 years later. He said, whenever I called my father and he picked up the phone and he heard my voice,
Amen.
He didn't have to say, who's this? He knows me. So the regular prayer it sets up that relationship. It is that relationship. When, you know, my sheep know my voice and I know theirs. And another's, they will not follow. You're having conversation, Dr. Susie, as you said earlier.
Yeah.
You're communing with God. You're communicating with God. You're fellowshipping with God. You know, and that brings about that intimacy. You know, there's nothing like the presence of God. There's no high. There's no intoxication like the presence of God. There's no feeling on earth like the presence of God. And those that go to that mercy seat, he's like, you want to be there. You desire that. You desire that fellowship.
The communion.
The communion. Yeah. You want that.
And this is Margaret.
Go ahead, Margaret.
I just wanted to say that, and then what ensues in your life, what unfolds in your life as a Christian who communes with the Lord, in prayer, there are good outcomes where we might not have expected one, where we were downhearted and fearful. The Lord changes things when we bring them to him in prayer. His presence and his divine power and his supernatural ability to change events in the world.
And you know, Margaret, I'm glad you said that because some people don't feel like God is involved in the world. They think God just doesn't get involved at all.
And I get my mother, for example, says she doesn't want to bother the Lord about simple matters in the world. And yet we're to bring everything to the Lord in prayer.
Everything, even the smallest, minutest thing.
Yeah.
This type of prayer may be offered anywhere under any circumstances. This type of prayer allow us to pray always. Men ought to always pray and do not think. The habit of prayer is blessed, but the spirit of prayer is better. The spirit of prayer is the mother of the exclamations. Many times a day, we are able to speak with our Lord. Many times a day, we are able to speak with our Lord. Many times a day.
Thank you, Lord.
We are able to speak with our Lord. Say, blessed be God who has strewn these treasures of form and color throughout the world to cheer and my sight and gladden my heart. Are you in darkness? Or is it a foggy day? Then say, Lord, lighten my darkness. Are you in the midst of company that are you in the midst of company and you will be reminded to pray, Lord, keep my lips. I laughed at that.
Well,
that's my prayer. I'd be in the class,
an important
Lord.
Prayer. That is such an important prayer.
I'll be in my class.
A lot of trouble can be avoided.
My lips, Lord.
Yes.
Are you quite alone? Then you can say, Lord, let me not be alone, but be with me, Father. Putting on your clothes, sitting in the breakfast table, getting into a vehicle, walking down the street, opening up your ledger, closing your window, everything may suggest such amid losses or gains, great reverses or good returns, still might a man breathe his soul in short, quick sentences to God.
Amen.
This was revelation to me, y'all.
Amen.
This, I mean, I've done it. Didn't know it had a name. You understand what I'm saying? And it's like, I've done it this way. I've done it like, Lord, when I get a chance, I'm going to talk to you more than what I'm talking to you. But when we do it all day long, we're talking with him all day long.
Mm-hmm. You know,
prayers are
Bishop,
yes, Dr. Susie.
What you were saying, you know, talking to him all day long. You know, I was reading the part of where Dr. Spurgeon talks about how the guy who gave him one of the best compliments, he says, you know, whenever I see you
yes.
or something about that, you know, it reminded him of his relationship with God. I don't know the way he put it. I can't remember exactly. But
exactly
he said it drew him to a sacred habit. And the point is whenever we engage, because when we have this relationship with someone and we're constantly taken back to the throne. For example, I had a friend of mine that said to me, you know, one of the things I always enjoy is that when we talk, before we get off the phone, you make us pray. And everybody I know, I do that with. And so it kind of takes them to that habit of prayer, even though, you know, the spirit of prayer is better, but it takes them to that which is sacred. It takes them back to the Lord. That's what it is. So whenever I think we've done our job, when our presence, our actions, being around other people will take us back to the Lord and incite prayer or encourage prayer. And I think that was the compliment he was saying that the young man or the guy experienced whenever he was with his friend. And I think that's important.
I think it's very important. It's what he says here, and I'm getting ready to, because it's 7:23, well, where I am at 7:23, which is time for us to wrap up. These prayers are commendable because they are truly spiritual. Wordy prayers may also be windy prayers. There is much of praying from books that have nothing whatsoever to recommend it. It doesn't do anything to recommend it. How much benefit would a manual of French conversation be to a person traveling in France without having knowledge of the language? That it wouldn't be any. If they don't know how to, they're done. And I remember they asked my cousin to pray the Thanksgiving prayer. It's November, and it's weird that this memory came into my mind, and they asked him to pray, and he was praying to the point where he was tuning up. And thank you for, and his brothers, it's six of them. His brothers was like, amen, 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 Junior, amen, Junior, amen. Because he had one of those lengthy prayers. So we don't want to be windy. We want to be concise, to the point. Amen. So,
amen.
Dr. Susie, it's in your hands, ma'am.
Amen. We're so excited tonight. For those of you who have been listening and talking and with us as we talk about what's important is to have the spirit of prayer, to be in a posture of prayer, to have that intimate relationship with God. If you are interested in having an intimate relationship with God where you can have exclamatory prayer, where you can have that intimacy that because you visit and talk with the Lord on a daily basis, on a regular basis, then we ask you right now to go along with me and say, Lord, I just want to tell you, first of all, that I love you. And in loving you, Lord, I come before you and I ask that I'm confessing with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you died for me and that you rose again that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And because of that, I request to be your child.
Yes, Lord.
And so when you say that, you got to believe and to know that God accepts you, is inviting you, has exclaimed that you are his and a part of the family. When you've confessed with your mouth and you believe in your heart, you belong to the Lord. So what you need to do at this particular point in time is to get in a Bible-believing church where you can share that expression of faith, become baptized, an expression of what you already believe will occur with your baptism, and then you can build that relationship with God by joining us here on the Bible study and participating in your new biblical church home. So we're so excited if you said that prayer, if you joined us in the family of God. We're excited about it, and we just want to thank you. What we'd like you to do is to follow us every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. on Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. And know that this is where the Word of God is explained. and we are truly trying to practice what it means to be God's children. So join us again every Tuesday from 7, close us out, James, from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. Thank you so much for joining Your Place. The number to call in next week is, James, can you read that number? If you'd like to call in and participate. Sammy, are you there? I think he's gone. So, but do you have the number, Bishop?
I'm here. I'm having computer issues. Sorry.
Okay. So what's the number that they can call in? 646-478-4932?
Yeah. 646-478-4932.
Amen. So thank you, and we look forward to you joining us next week on Your Place Love Connection. Play the exit song. Out.
I'm trying computer issues. Hold on.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.